Pray for it, Matt.
I've seen the righteous man suffer pain, and if I knew he would go free. And in my frustration, that just didn't seem right to me. I asked you.
Thank you.
turn myself on. Yeah. Luke chapter number 18. If you got a Bible tonight, Luke chapter 18. I'll try to be brief. If you're like me, you're tired tonight. Luke chapter number 18 is where we'll be. Going to read some verses tonight. Don't really have no outline, but I want to give you a thought that God's given me. Before we read Luke 18, I'm going to read you a verse out of Matthew 24. So just hold where you at it, Luke. Did I tell you Luke 18? Don't listen to me. Luke 17. You know how you are when you're going in your Bible and it says the chapter on the page and it's 18, but really I'm reading out of 17. Luke 17, and I'm going to read you a verse out of Matthew 24, verse 3. The Bible says in Matthew 24:3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Three questions there that they ask, and I want to go to the way Luke has pinned it down. So let's pick up in verse 22 of Luke 17. The Bible says, "And he said unto his disciples, The days will come when you shall desire to see one of those days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it." You know, I got thinking about there. We're just going to stop and go here tonight. We ain't in no kind of order, as long as we're in God's order. But it got me to thinking about these times that's coming at the end of the world. Jesus is coming soon. And the disciples asked, what are these signs? What shall we see? What shall we know? What's going to happen? What's going to go on? And Jesus, here he told them, and he said, you know, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. You ever notice in our Christian walk and in the journey we're going in, sometimes we just get tired. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we keep pressing on, but sometimes we just want to rest a little while. And rest is good. I don't believe you ought to be resting when you ought to be going, and I don't believe you ought to be going when you ought to be resting. That's why you ought to pray for discernment in your life so you know what to do and when to do it. Jesus here, he's teaching them that it's important that sometimes when we get tired and we're ready for, you know, and you know what I'm talking about here, when times is going so bad and you're saved and you're sitting here thinking, well, my goodness, it wouldn't bother me if the Lord just come on and got me now. You know, when you're struggling and you're hurt and maybe health ailments or problems in your family or just maybe you're struggling at your job. None of your bills seem to pay. You know, none of the end seems to meet at all. And you're not going to. And it seems like you got the weight of your world on your shoulders. And all you're thinking of is, well, I'd be all right if the Lord just come back tonight and got me. And for us to save, it's not a bad thing. The Bible teaches us there's no sense in fearing death. We're winners. We're going to the other side to be with Him. And Jesus said, yeah, there's going to be days come when you men's going to want to, you're going to want to see that second coming. You're going to be ready to come be with me when I'm over there in glory. He said, but you shall not see it. They shall say to you, see here, see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. We see that today where people are, they'll give out their predictions of when the end of the world's going to come. They'll tell you the date and the time. And the Bible says, no man know it, not even the angels. So anybody that tells you a time and a date, they're wrong.
That's right.
I ain't going to say they couldn't be close because God knows when he's coming back. But if a man's predicting it, then it ain't going to be right. But he tells them, see here, see there. Jesus even said there's going to be some coming that's trying to tell you that I'm the Christ. And it's not going to be him yet. I believe the Bible's teaching us here, and Jesus is trying to give them some signs here of when he's coming back, things to look for. Look what he says right here in verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. Somebody calls you and tells you Jesus is over at Hardy's on 36. Don't believe it. The Bible says he'll come as lightning that lights up the sky. The whole world is going to see Jesus when he comes back. How is all that possible? I don't know how it's all possible.
But he's God, so God can do whatever he wants.
But the Bible teaches us that. You know, they'll tell you that Jesus will come and how we they'll see it. He'll be over here. He'll be over there. Maybe he's going to say, I've even heard people try to say that when he comes back, he's going to go to Jerusalem first. My Bible says that we'll all see it when he comes back. We'll all see it. He's not just going to one particular place. It says, but first must suffer. He must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. We've seen that throughout the Bible. The Bible says he came into his own and his own received him not. That's in John chapter 1. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. That verse 26, that lets us know that, you know, back in the days of Noah, there was preaching in the days of Noah. Noah was preaching to people telling them. He's telling that the end's fixing to come. Noah had some faith. Noah knew. He believed God. When God told him to start building a boat, Noah had some faith. And it takes a lot of faith to not ever see rain and you start building a boat. And he was preaching to them. You know people had to come by. Noah, what are you doing? Noah, why are you putting this together? Noah, you're such a fool. Why would you build a contraption like this? Why would you ever want to spend your time, 120 years, why would you want to waste your time building a boat? We don't even know what water is. We ain't never seen rain. What are you doing for this? Are you building a playhouse for your kids? What are you doing? Noah said, you better get right with God.
Amen.
There's judgment coming. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6 that the thoughts of men were evil continually. There were no good things and bad things. The Bible says there was evil in their hearts at all times. And God said, I'll destroy the place. Noah kept preaching. And because Noah took a stand, let me tell you something why it lets us know. Our Bible will tell us some things if we get in it. Taking a stand means that God's going to take care of you.
Amen.
And not only did God take care of Noah, God took care of his family too. Because Noah took a stand, he had some faith. These days that come, he said, so is the days. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the days of the Son of Man. Look what verse 27 said. And they did eat, and they drank, and they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all.
Amen.
The Bible tells us right there, they were unpardoned, they were unconverted. Worst of all things, they were unprepared to meet God. The Bible says that He destroyed them all. And the flood, we know that the flood, right, removed the wicked. That's the same thing that's going to happen when Jesus comes back. That's why it's so important that we keep praying for our lost loved ones. Likewise, verse 28, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. And that kind of tells us right there, they had no concerns. They were giving themselves to the pleasures of life, to the lust of the flesh, without any concern for worshiping God. There was a continual process of practicing sin is what they had. I believe they struggled with drunkenness, gluttony, vices, they kept eating, they kept drinking. They had continual sins, no cares, no concerns. Just like today, in the very day we live in, we try to pray for people, we try to witness for people, we try to get them in church, and there is no concern. First thing they'll tell you is you better be ready because Jesus is coming back. Oh, I've been hearing that all my life. I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 70 years old. Been hearing that my whole life. One day, if they're not prepared, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. They're going to be just like these people was in the flood. They were unprepared to meet God. Bible says, keep going. In the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed, what does it say? Them all. Like in Noah's day. Like in Lot's days. But God spared Noah and his family, and God spared Lot and his family. And it says right here, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he that which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him not likewise not return back. You know, it'll be too late. Though. What he's saying there right there, it's going to be too late to be worried about all these material things. Your furniture. The Bible talks about that's called the goods, right in that verse right there. The things that we own are material things.
And that is something how a lot of times we hold those to be so precious, you know, the things that we got. And there's nothing wrong with being thankful. But just be careful how you value your material things in your life. There's nothing wrong with being thankful.
I've said it before, and I'll say it to the day I die. The most precious thing I own is my Bible.
Amen.
If I was to have a house fire, the first thing I want to go in and get is my Bible. That's what's precious. Now, I'd go in and try to get it. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't go in after my kids or anything like that. I'm not trying to be foolish or anything like that. My kids, they'd go in and get a dog and probably leave me in there and say, I know what their priceless possession is. That's that dog. And I love the dog too. Don't get me wrong. I love the dog. But the possessions that we have, he said, don't look back after all those. You ever heard that? I love where the old preacher said one time, you never see a U-Haul following the hearse.
Amen.
And that's something right there. We don't always think about that. You know, it's something how we'll work ourselves to the bone day and night, extra for all that, just to have more stuff. And we don't even know when our last day on earth is going to be. I'm not telling you to give everything you got away to charity and do all that. That'd be living on some faith, that's for sure, if you did something like that. And I believe if God told you to do it and you did it, God would bless you for it. But your preacher ain't telling you to go sell everything you got. So it says right there, but in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. We see two different times, two different events killed the people that was in the area. Even so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he shall be upon the housetop, and the stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Look what it said. Remember Lot's wife. Now why would Luke pin that down? What is so important about Lot's wife? You notice that's a powerful verse right there that said, remember Lot's wife. You know what said don't turn back? Because Lot's wife, where was her heart at? It was fixed on the city, on the possessions. Those were more important to her than God was.
Right.
And Luke's right there telling us, remember Lot's wife. The greatest thing we own tonight is our salvation. And it's what God gives us. And it says right there, verse 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And what that's talking about is denying Christ or standing up for Christ. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in a field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. In Revelation 19, in some of those verses, it talks about the eagles, the vultures will come around. This is at Armageddon, when the Son of Man comes back, when Jesus comes back. It says that they will be feeding off the corpses that's left.
That's right.
Notice in those verses, one taken, one left. Our Bible teaches us, and this is what I want to get to tonight. Our Bible teaches us that there is a great separation coming. A great separation coming. There's a parting for those that are saved and for those that are lost. Those that are ready to meet God, those that have accepted God, and those that have rejected God. Look what your Bible says. Let's go over it, and I want them to hit this verse too. It says, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. Don't let this confuse you. The Bible says it's still wrong for two men to be together. He still means that. It's ancient custom that the Bible says that men, they ate their meals on beds, on couches. They were the same thing. So that's what it's talking about right there. I want to make sure we cleared that up. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other one left. Notice what it's saying right there about that separation. There are still things going on. They were still eating. They were still drinking. They were still working. They were doing their job. They were going on about life as if they had no care. And the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, there's one going to meet God, and there's one going to face death. That's what our Bible says. We are living in a day where we need to be praying more than we ever have for our lost loved ones.
Amen.
Jesus is coming soon. I don't know when He's coming. And I'm glad I don't know when He's coming, because I'll tell you why. Because if I knew the date that Jesus was coming, I'm going to be honest with you, I'd probably be lazy. I'd probably be real lazy and think, well, I've got 10 more years before the Lord comes back. I'm going to take it easy for a few years. And then the last couple of years, I'm going to give it all I've got. And that's it most people, right?
Right.
People would be living up in their sins if they knew when Jesus was coming back. Let's be honest. They already doing it now. If they knew they had time to get right with God, if they knew the Lord was coming back in 2 years, I guarantee you, a year and a half, they would party it up like there is no before. And then that last 6 months, they talked about both the artists, it's time to get right. Time to get right. No, it's not time to get right then. It's time to get right now.
Amen.
The Bible says we need to have our hearts right with God. And if my heart is right with God, I'm going to be praying for the lost loved ones. And my family, not just mine, I'm going to be praying for your lost loved ones too. Every one of us sitting here tonight, I'm not trying to embarrass nobody tonight, because I'll raise both of my hands. How many of us in here tonight have lost loved ones in our family? I've got several of them. I don't even know if I can give you all the ones in my family's name that's lost. But the times are always short. And just like in those days, the same things are going on today. People's too busy for God. They're too busy for church. They're too busy to read their Bible. They're too busy to stop and pray. They're just too busy. That's why Jesus said when the disciples, He said, stop. Rest for a while. He said, for they are coming and going. It never said in the Bible they were coming and staying. They were coming and going. So busy that they never had time for God. And there will be no excuses. I don't know what people's going to tell God when they get up there. Lord, I didn't have time. You had plenty of time. Lord, I didn't have no warnings. There's been plenty of warnings. There's been plenty of signs. The Bible tells you the things that's come about. A lot of people said, well, I'll know when it'll come about because the Bible says there'll be peace and sudden destruction. I don't know when that's going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now. If you're lost and not right with God, don't wait till you start seeing that there's peace everywhere and think, all right, now I need to get saved. My Bible says, and I'm a big believer in this, I don't believe you just get saved when you want to. I don't believe you're just going to wake up and say you're going to get saved. I heard people that have come and pull you in the back room and tell you all that things. You know what Jesus said? No man can come unto me unless the Father draws.
Amen.
You ain't come to Jesus unless God draws. And you ain't going to get saved unless you repent of your sins. That's what the Bible says. It bothers me with people that you'll see them. There'll be some altar workers. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, people, we ought to get down here and pray with people when they're praying. Nobody should ever have to pray by themselves. I'm just being honest. But it bothers me. You know what bothers me? Because I was one of those. When I was 5 to 6 years old, I had a preacher when we was going to church. My mama told him that I needed to be saved, that I wasn't saved. He took me and my sister off into a back room, and I don't even remember what he told us to say. And we repeated through a prayer, and let me tell you something. We walked in the room lost, and we walked right back outside. Exactly what we did. Didn't even know Jesus. Till one night I started coming under conviction. I started reading my Bible. I said, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to be honest with you. If you lost, you ain't going to understand the word. You ain't going to say. When you saved, you ain't going to understand their faith in the Bible. When I was lost, I couldn't put nothing together. I couldn't figure it out. And the Bible says it's foolishness to them that are lost. They don't understand. The natural man receives not the things of God. That's the lost man. You're in your natural state before you get saved. You don't understand the things of God. And I don't understand a lot of things God's doing now. I just thank Him, but I don't have to understand it. I just got to believe it. That's all He told me to do. Understanding these things. I didn't understand it until one night, Thursday night, February the 9th, 1989. I don't even know what time it was. The time don't matter. It ain't the time or anything like that. It's who I trusted that night. Old preacher come by the house, and he started talking to me. And thank God, he did not try to run me into a prayer. He said, you're going to have to pray.
He says, you're going to have to ask God into your life. He says, you're going to have to repent of your sins. You're going to have to ask God to save you. He said, I'm going to kneel right here beside you. I was on an old couch, and I can tell you, I was sitting on the couch. My mom was sitting right here. The preacher was sitting right here. And my stepdad was over here in the chair right here. My mom was sitting right beside me. I can remember I leaned over, and I started to go down. And I started bawling. I can't remember what I said. Conviction dumped all over me.
Amen.
I'm talking about conviction. And you know what the Bible, you say, well, how did you ever say? Hey, I just need somebody to guide me. I said that. Remember that Ethiopian guy? He said, I have a care of so many to guide me. I just need somebody to guide me that night. Preacher wasn't going to save me. He shouldn't save me. I got down and I started praying. And I started crying. I just remember those tears flowing. And I just said, God, save me. That's all I remember saying. I don't know what else I said. I don't know how long I prayed. I don't remember anything. And I've told this story again before. When I come up off my knees, I felt a weight had been lifted off my shoulder.
Amen.
And it was so unbelievable. I'm telling you, I can see it right now. We had this old cheap carpet in the kitchen. It was almost like some kind of, I don't know what it was, but it was real thin and it wasn't nothing. And I got up from the living room and I started walking. I hugged the preacher's neck. He hugged me. I hugged my mama. I probably hugged my mama 2 or 3 times. You know I love my mama that all the time. I thought I was my mom for it, but I talked 10 times. I kept hugging my mom, and then I started walking through the living room. The preacher was leaving, and I'm telling you, I was floating in the kitchen.
Right.
I've never forgot that the rest of my life. I thought I was walking here. I thought, hey, for me, I thought I was going to heaven. I didn't know. I thought I was going to heaven. I thought God was calling me on home. I started walking up. I said, oh my goodness, I'm fixing to take the prayer. My weight had been lifted when I trusted God. And it wasn't nothing that the preacher did. I appreciate the preacher telling me what to do. I appreciate his guidance. Just like I did. When people come and talk to me, they say, I need to be saved. And I always ask them, I say, what do you need to be saved for? I want them to know why they're being saved. I want them to be a part of some kind of movement. Well, so-and-so got saved, and they got saved. So I figured probably the right thing to do this way. I was going to be saved too. What do you want to be saved for? And I've been told people this, and we go back and we talk. What do you want God to do for you?
Amen.
What do you want to do for you? Well, preacher, I want him to save you. We need to ask him to save you. I remember one young lady, she told me one time, she said, I need God to change my life. I said, ask God to change your life. I said, yeah, I don't want to give anybody a testimony. I don't even want to give my wife a kid's testimony. That's his testimony. I don't want to give that. I want my family, and I want everybody that comes and talks to me, I want them to have an authentic salvation with God. It was between me and God. That's what I want. I don't want them to say, when a preacher tell me what to say, so I have to be saved.
That's right.
I don't want that blood on my hands.
Amen.
I want them to trust in God. I want my family to trust in God. I've been praying about my family more than I ever have probably. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when they're going to leave, what's going to happen or anything. But almost every day, I beg God to save me before He takes me. And it's His will that none of us perish, but that all should come to Him.
Amen.
So I know that's His will. But you see, I can't make my sister get saved, and I can't make my family members get saved. I can't make them get saved. You're not going to force anybody to get saved. You're not going to force them to get to church. You're not going to force them to Jesus. But I tell you one thing you can do. You can love them to Jesus. You can love them to church. And you can love them to the way they need to be.
Amen.
My Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. We know that for Jesus died on the cross. But boy, love does a lot of things. And I can remember this older man, well, he wasn't old, but we was young. When I started going, I'm still young now. Hold on. We were younger, and this guy, his name was Danny, at the old church we went to. He was lost. He was in alcohol. And he stood up and testified one night, and I've never forgot this. He said, you know, he said, I didn't care about going to church. He said, I knew who God was, but I didn't care about serving. He said, I didn't know Jesus in my heart. He said, but then something started coming upon me. He said, I had a mom and dad. And you remember his mom and his dad. He said, they kept praying for me. And he said, I tell you what they did. He said, they loved me to God is what they did.
Amen.
And I thought about that. I've been thinking about that a lot this week. How many people that's lost in our family would be able to say that we've loved them to God? I don't know. I hope mine would. My family knows I love them because I always try to tell them that I love them. But how much do I love them? Do I love them enough to sacrifice a little bit of sleep to pray a little bit more? Maybe love them to sacrifice a little bit of time to call them a little bit more. How much do I love them? How much do you love your lost ones and your family? Not just yours, but how much do I love your lost ones? I want them to get saved. But if I would start looking at it as your kids as much as my kids, I believe I'd be praying more for them. And I do. I pray for your lost loved ones. When you tell me you've got lost loved ones in your family, I write their names down and I pray for them. There's a family here that's no longer here that's got a lost loved one. And I call his name out as many times as I can to get saved. You see, it ain't about who gets saved, do you? It ain't about who gets saved in front of me. God forbid saved. You know, I tell you right now, I can remember we had two saved when Josh Adams was here 2 years ago. You know what? We still got one of them here, but two people being saved. And somebody asked me one time, and I appreciate him asking me. I don't know what book he asked me. Anything you ever want to ask me. They said, did it bother you that you knew they were saved and you did all this preaching? And somebody else come in and preach and they got saved. I said, not a bit. I'm just so excited they got saved. Because it ain't about who preaches. They going to trust the same gospel that we are. You know what? That was the day that them and God met. Are saved. And I'm telling you, it's coming a day and the end is just about near. How much do we love our lost loved ones to pray for them? We really ought to be praying for them this week. I want them to come. I would love for your lost loved ones to come Sunday. Won't you call them and invite them? Well, preacher, they'll probably just tell me no. Make them tell you no. Make them tell you no. Keep asking them again. I'd invite lost loved ones to our revival. If you're here and you don't know Brother Ken Bowman, I'm telling you, he is an evangelizing pastor and he has a pastor's heart for people. He loves people. Amen. I love him so much. I'm so thankful for him. I'm thankful for the prayers he prays for me and my family. I'm thankful for the help he is to me. I believe in all my heart, God has gotten me so excited for this revival coming up. God's going to stir some things up in this revival. And I don't want you to be scared of it, because a lot of times for revival to hit you, your sin has to be brought out. So why not go ahead and confess what you got to God? Get that out there and let God just do some stirring and let Him do some refreshing and some renewing inside of you. It's going to be a good week next week. I've already told you this morning and I'll probably say it again next week. You're going to be tired next week. Everything ain't going to go your way next week. Anything that the devil can put in your path next week to keep you from coming to church, he's going to do it. But you're going to have to make your mind up if you want to come to church. And I promise you this, if you come praying, seeking something from God, I believe God's going to meet your need.
Amen.
And you never know by what you do how God might go on ahead and save somebody you love just from your obedience. Now, that ain't my works that gets them saved, but I believe God can go ahead in the future and start taking care of some things. What I do today, God might go 5, 10, 15, 20 years on down the road and go ahead and line something up for my kids. My prayer always is, God, just keep them in your will.
Amen.
Just keep them in your will. Wherever He moves them to, wherever He sends them off to, if He lets them stay, whatever it is, I want them to stay close to God is my prayer. But I want to see my lost loved ones saved above all things. You see, my kids are saved. It would absolutely tear my world apart if something happened to my wife or kids tonight. But I can say this. I'll see them in a little while at the end.
Amen.
I've got a sister that's lost, and I've got other family members that's lost. And if something happens, and tonight they were called out to meet God, if she don't get saved before that last heartbeat, that last breath, we'll never see each other again. And that bothers me. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like a lot of things she does, and it's hard for me to be around her a lot of times. But I love her enough to know that God died for her. He died for her tonight. Let's all stand together.